We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Light years. Andy Liu, guess what is happening today?
No. What's happening today?
Number 30 is hashtag ramping up.
You know, every single player on the Warriors this season has hashtag ramped up. Only Steph has escaped that, and now he's got to go through it. Wiseman, Clay, Draymond, Andre, everyone, Sam. Now it's Steph's turn. It's fitting that he's the final piece to the ramp up team.
I really actually, now that you mention it, Jordan Poole's the only one who hasn't had to ramp up because he never ramped down. He never ramped down. Never got hurt.
He's too young. He doesn't need to ramp up.
Yeah. Everyone else just ramp. Always ramp. I guess Wiggs too. Take it back. Wiggs has been pretty durable.
Yeah. That's Wiggs beat. Wiggs plays every game. So it's good news, right? Good
hard
news
to,
that
hard to get hurt if you don't, you know, make contact with players. Anyway, just good kidding, guys. Just kidding. Anyway, so it's aligning with what we were suspecting, right? Like Steph should be cleared for the first game of the playoffs. And it sounds like without setbacks, he probably won't even have a minutes restriction as we get there. So it sucks. We're not going to get to see him this week. But what matters is he's back for the playoffs, recording this Tuesday afternoon. They still have 11 days until the playoffs begin.
Yeah, that play-in game week really saved the Warriors this time around. I think what you said is interesting, that Steph is going to come back with no minutes restriction. That would mean he's essentially just at full strength, which I believe if he really is coming back at full strength, that is the ultimate silver lining, because I always felt the season, Sam, that he played too much, that he was sitting back to backs, but essentially he was playing almost every single game, right? Outside of that injury. And it was a freak injury, right? So it wasn't really, oh, he played that many games, so he got hurt. No, he just got rolled up on because
I was going to say, his injury had nothing to do with wear and tear.
Nothing to do with that.
Just had to do with the dude diving on his foot.
Crazy dude. But like, I feel like if he hadn't gotten hurt, that he would be tired, right? He would just be fatigued. He would have played the whole season. He would have ended up playing 70 plus games, which is a lot for a 34-year-old. So I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Steph does take care of his body, and Steve has been, the Warriors in general, I got to stop saying Steve. Steve's not the doctor. Our this is Steve, coming from above the, show. The head coach. They haven't been playing him on back-to-back. Like he'd have been on the same schedule like Draymond and Otto and those guys are on, where he's sitting a lot of those games just because they're like, screw it, we want to make sure he's healthy.
Yep.
You're probably right. He probably would have got to 70 games. And I think honestly that would have been okay, but it is what it is at this point. I don't think it really matters.
Him coming back, though, I think him coming back refreshed. I always did. It's just, we saw those Spurs teams, right? Duncan, Manu, Tony, those guys were, it's just probably better, right? That those guys play, just, you get Steph to play less games, it's better for him. Now,
The thing about the Spurs is they didn't actually play that many less games. they just played him less minutes because of the depth of the team, some of it too. You know, like in 2014, Tim Duncan played 74 games. I would have never guessed that. The only reason I know that is because I'm looking it up. I would have thought he played like 64, but he played 74. Yeah. But the difference is he played 29 minutes a game.
They steps at what, like 33? He's about at his career norm, right? So yeah, he's definitely not playing less.
I think he actually, I'll pull it up right now, but I'm pretty sure he's above what he normally is. Because
They're chasing wins.
34 and a half this year. Yeah. Most minutes per game of the Steve Kerr era, even more than 15-16.
You go.
And Steph's in phenomenal shape. We know how hard he works at that sort of stuff. In general, it would have been nice if they could get him more rest throughout the whole thing. But it is what it is at this point. I don't even know why we're relitigating.
No. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing overall. Would it be better if Steph had played these last 10 games? Yes, absolutely. But if you're to take the optimist perspective coming into the postseason here with 2 weeks to go, we're going to talk about the standings in a second. I think this is as good of a news as you can get about Steph. Like, he's going to come in completely, I think, refreshed and healthy, which is, we haven't seen that right in the postseason since 2019, and Steph was fantastic in 2019. So this is all good things, I think, for one number 30.
Yeah. Let's do a little standings watch. So right now the Warriors are third, three games to go. They are one game up on Dallas. Dallas owns the tiebreaker, so it is a true one game lead, because if they end up with a tied record, Mavericks will have it.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up right now. Mavericks play the Detroit Pistons on Wednesday. It's a win. They play the Portland Trailblazers on Friday.
It's a win. It's
probably a win. They play the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday, in what might be a meaningless game, because the Lakers might be eliminated from the play-in at that point. If it's a meaningless game, I'm going to give it to Dallas. If it's meaningful, it could be a toss-up.
Memphis, you're saying? So 3-0 Memphis week, you're saying?
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. I don't know why I'm thinking Memphis, but yes, Dallas.
Okay.
So 3-0 week.
They should go 3-0, which means the Warriors have to go 3-0 if they are... if they really want the three seed. They got a chance. I really hope that we're recording this before the games end on Tuesday night. I really hope the Lakers aren't eliminated from the playoffs, because I want the Warriors to be the ones who do that on Thursday. Just personally, nothing would make me happier than watching them eliminate the Lakers, not even go to the play-in on Thursday night. I mean, to be fair, a lot of playoff things would make me happier. But
yeah, that is true. That is true. By the way, the Lakers, it's just an abject embarrassment. 31-47. It's just two games, essentially three, with the tiebreaker behind the Spurs for the 10th seed. How are you in the 11th seed when? I mean, even if AD and LeBron have been hurt some of the season, just the fact it's embarrassing. Sam, like I tweeted this earlier today. The Warriors have had Steph out now for the last quarter of the season. Draymond's been out half the season. Klay Thompson's coming back from two injuries and missed essentially the first half of the season. Our guy, friend of the show, James Wiseman, hasn't played this year. And then the rest of the team is a bunch of vet mins and rookies. And the Warriors have hit 50 wins. You're telling me that a team led by Russell Westbrook, AD and LeBron can't win 40 games? They're 31.
Yeah, I mean, just to put into perspective, Anthony Davis has played 39 games. Obviously, that's not
right.
You know what you want. He's only going to play half the year. He's going to end the season with 41 games, probably. Draymond's played 43. So let's not act like, let's not act like they've been snake bit,
right?
Any worse than any other teams. Just a terrible roster. No leadership. I think that's really where LeBron, AD should be killed. Like, where's the sense of ownership? It's just like, they're just kind of like, well, we don't have help, you know, throw their hands in the air. It's just so, so corny. You know, that's all I'll say about that right now.
Yeah.
Getting back to the standings watch here. All right. So Warriors, they probably have to win out to get the three seed. And so the real question is, does it matter if they're the three or the four? Do you want to be on the Grizzly side of the bracket? Do you want to be on the Sun side of the bracket? Do you want to play the Nuggets in round one, or do you want to play the Utah Jazz in round one? It looks like the Jazz are more likely to fall to six. That technically Denver is up a half game, so it's like not that big a difference or anything. But I mean, we saw Utah over the weekend. You want to talk about a team who hates each other? Utah Jazz. They're playing the Grizzlies tonight. That's probably an L for the Jazz. And you want to talk about a team that, you know, they're hurt with injuries, but they're fighting, the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah. I don't know if – so it feels like the Warriors are going to drop to four here. Just the Lakers and then a back-to-back against the Pelicans and the Spurs. It looks like the Warriors are probably going to rest guys. Maybe the Spurs will too, right? But it feels like, Sam, I'm just going to say
maybe
gonna
the Pelicans will too, because the Pels are locked into the plan. Like they're not getting up to eight.
They're not falling
into 10. They're hosting that first play-in game no matter what.
It feels like to me, I'll say 2-1. So if I feel like they're the four seed, but if you're the Warriors, I think the question isn't whether it's the Mavs or the Nuggets. I'm getting these teams mixed up today. It doesn't matter to me whether it's the Nuggets or the Jazz. I feel like they should be able to beat either of them. And I would say six games. We'll do a full preview pod at some point here in the next week. It's whether, like you said, do you want to be on the side of the Suns or do you want to be the side on the Grizzlies? Ja Morant, Sam, has still yet to, he's not coming back yet. Right. Like he's like on that Steph Curry path where it's like, is he going to play the end of the season? Is he going to be back we think he's going to be back in the postseason. Most likely he will be, right? He's on the bench. He's jumping around. So he should be back, but he's not. So they've got some questions with that team. And the Phoenix Suns are just, you know, they're the Phoenix Suns. They just win basketball games. But you and I have talked ad nauseum. They may not have the upside that a team like the Memphis Grizzlies have. So I think if you're the Warriors, as long as you get first home court advantage, you're fine. But if you were to pick one, I'd say the Nuggets seem just like an easier team to play against. Like
they
game
do,
planning against
but
the Nuggets just seems so much.
I cannot stress. I mean, we saw it Saturday night. The Utah Jazz, at this point, I will be surprised if they do not trade Gobert or Mitchell. One of them is not coming back next year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's tangible. I mean, we've all seen the clips now on social a bazillion times of Rudy Gobert posting up like Clay or GP2 and Donovan Mitchell just not even wanting to pass him the ball. The amount of like pettiness between – they just look like a team who literally they're going to get a big lead on the Warriors in a playoff game. They're going to fold. They might fight each other in the locker room, like physically, and then they're going to come out and completely – they look like a team who could easily get swept, not because they're bad, but because they quit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, and again, this is the team that beat the Memphis Grizzlies last season in five games in the postseason, right? Like, this is a team that's really, really – like, they should be –
Missing Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles, the MVP, man.
He's the glue. He's the glue guy. Like this player is a team that should be in the West Conference Finals. Like, is a true contender. And yes, I guess I can't discount the amount of talent and the system that they have. Like, they're still a good basketball team. With Denver, I feel like, yeah, in one game, Jokic could be the best player on the court. They could win a game.
He might average 40 for the series. Yeah.
Right. But across the series, like, I don't see how Denver – like, I don't see a path where Denver can beat the Warriors. I just don't see it. With the Jazz, it's like, yes, maybe they can get – maybe they start liking each other. I know it's not possible at this point. They do hate each other.
Right.
But maybe they put something together. They win one round, right? Like, maybe that's possible. Maybe Steph isn't fully healthy. But with Denver, it's like, dude, they're just not good enough.
I mean, Denver reminds me of, like, the Clippers, but with Jokic, where you're just like, okay, you're missing kind of guys who matter.
Yeah.
But you really do play hard together, you know? And I guess I really would rather have Utah.
Oh, wow.
But – I don't know if I feel strongly enough to like to get Utah in my scenario. Utah is the six, which means you have to hold on to the three. And if you hold on to the three, that means you're probably going to have to go through Memphis in round two. I'd still think it comes back to who do you want to play first, Memphis or Phoenix. And I'm not decided on that one. You brought it up
neither.
And Lars Sule brought it up on Sunday. The Jaw thing is tricky. They're winning without Jaw, but obviously they're not winning playoff series without Ja Morant. Yep. And he's just, that's a lot of time to sit with the knee thing. That's all I'm going to say, you know?
Yep. So. Same with Steph. Like, the more I almost think about it, the more I'm like, Memphis, they haven't won anything. They sure. talk a lot. They tweet a lot. They win a lot of games, but they just haven't won anything. And Ja's not playing.
They need a back. They really do need to back it up this year because, like, right. It's cute to be the young team who talks trash. But if you talk trash and you don't back it up, all of a sudden you're the Lob City Clippers.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh wow.
You know, like you're like one of those teams. Like the Warriors talk trash, but then the Warriors got to the finals. You know, they backed it up a little bit. Like that's the thing. If you're gonna put the bullseye on your back, you better back it up. And I will say this, I do think Memphis can back it up. Like they don't strike me as frauds. They don't strike me as a soft team. I could see them maybe going cold offensively and losing a playoff series that way, but I can't see someone, you know, like punking them, for lack of a better term.
I can see them losing to Dallas, right? Like I can see them losing to the Mavericks in a second round season, in a second round series. And I think that's something where it's like, yes, they should beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Or I don't know, maybe the Clippers. But like, how funny would it be if the Clippers come back with PG and Kawhi, right? That's an interesting scenario. Or Kawhi, I should say. PG's already back. So like, that would be funny. But like Luka's, that's an
just
interesting tell
series. No one, and he shows up suiting up.
You just see him, he's back. He's shooting on the practice court, right? And so leave it up to Kawhi to just come back game one without saying anything. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yes, the road does go through Memphis and Phoenix, but it feels like Memphis. There's something there where they're you don't just run through teams, Sam. When you're a young team like that, the Warriors went through shit, right? Every team that went on to win the finals, they go through heartbreak. And I feel like with Memphis, they're not just rolling through the West Finals and playing the Suns or the Warriors. Like that's just not going to happen. I can see them losing.
Yeah, no, Memphis. We don't know how they're going to respond to being in like a 2-2 series or something like that, you know, like, or being down 3-2 or something like that. It'll be interesting. So are you saying you'd rather be on Memphis's side of the bracket?
I need to think. I'm pulling a Samus Findiari here. I don't want to
hedge.
Pick.
The hedge.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know. The more I think about it, though, the more it does feel like it feels like playing against Memphis in the second round. It is the Warriors have enough IQ there, and they have enough vet experience to win that series. I think.
It comes down to, do you want the physical test or the mental test? Phoenix is the smarter team. They're a Chris Paul team. I think the Warriors match up well with them, but like, you know, they play really smart basketball, right? Memphis is the physical team, you know? So you could convince me you want to push off the physical team. So Steph is really like rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
Or you could convince me the sooner you face them, the less chance Draymond's worn down. The last thing you need is Draymond dead tired dealing with Steven Adams on his back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Looney, our guy, but the Iron Man.
That, you know, that's the whole playoffs, though. Like, that's this playoff, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be eight, and then it's going to be Giannis, right, in the finals, even if you get there. Whoever it is, Joel Embiid, maybe.
Pretty much everyone in the East has a big who's – at minimum going to make you
KD, right? Yeah, if it's not a big, it's fucking Kevin Durant.
Shout out,
right?
Andre Drummond.
I mean, he's playing well, so it's a war regardless. It just that Memphis team, the more I think about, like, it's just they played in two back-to-back games last season, right? At the end of the season, Steph took over one game and then Ja took over the second game. It just so turned out that the second game was the one that was the playing game, do or die, right? So that was the one the Warriors lost. But I think in a seven game series, it's different, right? It's so different, and the Warriors have been there before. So, and in that series against the Mavericks, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Ja Morant or Luka Doncic? I think that's a tricky series if that's the one that turns out, if that's the second round series. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, now I'm just hedging. Maybe I want to ask the listeners. Why don't you guys reply to us? Let us know who you would rather play in the second. Which side of the bracket do you want to be on? Which side of the bracket do you want to be on? The Memphis Grizzlies side or the Sun side? Better put, do you think you want to be the 3 seed or the 4 seed? Because, look, we're going to find the answer to this on Sunday, no matter what. Might as well have some fun with the experiment, you know, thinking about it now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I got a new topic for you, Andy.
Oh,
I think it's, you know what we have not done this year? We haven't gotten into NBA awards. I think part of it is I'm just not a, like, it's kind of a boring discussion, you know, like, I just don't see the point of being like, ooh, Jokic is up on Embiid February 3rd in the MVP race. Like, who cares?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Right. Like, I'm more focused on the play, but now that we're here, I'm curious, especially since like, the Warriors have potential candidates in every field. So let's just go through it. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm taking these odds from FanDuel. They're as of Monday. I don't think the odds have moved since then, but it's as close as I can get. Current MVP odds show Jokic 1, Embiid 2, Giannis 3, Luka, there's kind of a drop, Luka 4. Luka and Booker tied for 4, and Ja at 6th. I guess who's your regular season MVP?
I'll go straight into it. I mean, Jokic is my MVP, but I wish Steph had stayed healthy. If Steph had stayed healthy, I would have gone Steph as MVP. 70 games, the Warriors would have been the 2 seed at the very least, right, in the West.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Grizz schedule.
It hurts.
The Warriors, if they had Steph, they're not dropping to Orlando, Washington, and Atlanta.
No,
they're tied with the Grizz. We're having the same like Warriors Mavericks conversation, but Warriors Grizz, you know, we're doing that whole thing. And, you know, they probably win. They're going to win 52, maybe 53 games. If Steph stays healthy, they probably win 58, 57, something like that.
And I think that's an MVP, like that's an MVP team. Cause you watched, like the thing is you watched the Suns, and this is why I pick Jokic and not someone like Devin. I know Draymond Green said Devin Booker today, but, and these arguments are always, and this is why I don't like it, Sam. Cause a lot of these arguments are so very hypothetical. And it's like, you take Booker off that Suns team. It's like, well, they're still winning 50 games. Like they won't win 62, but like, let's say you take him off that team. Like they're still winning. They're a machine. Like kind of like you're seeing with Memphis, right? Without Ja, they're still winning games. We see what they're like without Steph Curry. Like we see it. And that to me, it's kind of the similar thing with Kevin Durant. We saw the Brooklyn Nets without Durant, right? They're a joke. And Durant was just out for too long this season for him to get MVP votes. And I think the same with Steph, where it's just like, it sucks that he's been out for the past month, because my opinion is if he was playing 70 games a season, they win 58 games, he'd be my MVP. But I go with Jokic. Sam, I go with Jokic. They're 15 games over 500 and his team's terrible.
They're probably going to win.
Terrible.
If they don't win 50, they're going to win 49. You know, it's going to be right there.
He's replacement pacing players all the way around the board on the Nuggets. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Shout out my guy and friend of the Bay, Aaron Gordon, though. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
But your point stands. Like, he's missing his number 2 and his number 3. There's just no other way around it. So, I think I agree with you. Steph would have. I'm going Giannis, though, because I didn't expand out the MVP odds, but after Ja, it goes KD, Tatum, then Steph. So Steph's like 9th or 10th. which, you know, considering he's going to miss a quarter of the season, still pretty impressive. I think Giannis should win MVP when we factor in the reality here. The Bucks are probably going to be the two seed in the East. He's the only reason Giannis isn't getting more buzz, in my opinion, is he's held to the standards of peak Giannis. In other words, people aren't looking at what he's doing in context of the league. People are looking at what Giannis is doing in context of the fact he scored 50 in a finals game. It's like kind of the LeBron thing. It's kind of the Steph thing. Steph kind of got criticized this year saying he was declining. And I'm like, bro, he's playing just as well. He's just hit a couple less shots. You know what I mean? Where it's like people hold him to the standards of unanimous MVP Steph, not, you know,
normal MVP stuff. I hear you.
Or just like the rest of the league. Like you should be rating him against how Jokic is playing and how Embiid are playing, not how like his best of best play.
I would argue the Bucks have struggled all season. Like that would be my argument. It's just now they've had injuries, right? Anytime they've got the big three guys on the floor, they're fantastic. Anytime you get Drew, Chris, and Giannis, it's a title team, right? We've seen it.
Sure.
And I think Giannis is the best player in the world right now. I firmly believe he's the best.
Yeah, when he's playing at his A game, it's
defensively he's right. That's a big one.
Yeah,
I mean, like defensively, he's better than KD. Is simply and that's what it is. And again, I have Steph up there too. But I think Giannis. Yeah, I'm with you. He's the best, but that team is just dangerous. They're 48-30, and that's just kind of an ugly record. Like if they have 55 wins,
I guess to your point. Yeah, the Nuggets are a whopping 1.5 games worse than them on the record. And that's without two guys. Giannis, right. I know the Bucks have had guys in and out of the lineup, but it's not the same as missing Murray and Porter all year.
Right.
Chris and Drew are going to end up playing 67 games, something like that. You know, 65 games, something in that range. You know, you'd like to get them above 70, but it's all things considered, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. You and I don't believe in Embiid, huh? Because we're not talking about him.
Harden kind of ruined. I would have been a more of an Embiid guy until the Harden trade. They've kind of gotten worse. He's on my top five. Same with Luka.
Sure.
Luka, if the MVP was from January on, I might say Luka, but it took him 6 to 7 weeks to figure it out. You know,
he's got his James Harden on.
That's the truth, though. I think Luka might win it next year. The year he comes into the season in shape, he'll probably win MVP. You know. I just wanted to be like, I get why people are saying Devin Booker, but
no love. Yeah. No love for Deep Book. I'm with you. The Embiid stuff is, I think that's the biggest one because I feel like he's not fun to watch. Now I know that doesn't matter to the MVP criteria. Like he's good. Good is good, right? Great is great. But do you enjoy watching Embiid? Like that's a big thing for me.
I could do without some of the flopping. They've become less enjoyable since they got Harden. That's
real,
my
real
take.
Shocker, right? Real shocker.
No, but before they had Harden, they moved the ball really well. Like obviously they didn't have high end talent. Like Tyrese Maxey's nice. He looks like he's going to be really good. Seth Curry's nice. Matisse Thybulle, like they had a nice thing going around him. I found the team fun to watch. With like Embiid as the centerpiece with a bunch of role players who played hard. Now with Harden, it's just unwatchable, dude. And I feel like he leans into his worst habits with Harden there. You know what I mean? Like it's like Harden's like the bad influence friend. Like he was flopping before. Now he like can't stop flopping.
He showed up and said, "All right, buddy, Joe, I got something for you. Let's turn this shit up a notch. Let's really lean into the being the villains of foul baiting." Yeah, great season, Embiid, right? And the other thing I think with Embiid, I always am curious is I want to see him win in the postseason too. This is nothing to do with the MVP, but we've seen him lose some series where they've been up and last season losing in a series where you shouldn't have to Atlanta Hawks. So I think some of that, right, like you said with Giannis, some of that is like you're not a real winner in the postseason. It's kind of hard to say, hey, MVP, right? So anyway, unless you're unanimous.
Okay. Rookie of the year. Our guy, Big John Kuminga, not in consideration here. Mm. And to be fair, he's not getting the minutes and the run that these guys are going. Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Josh Giddey, in that order is what FanDuel is saying. What do you think?
I think the best player is Cade Cunningham. That's my guy.
He's been awesome. Yeah. Second half of the season.
Yep, he's got his not like he came in out of shape, so he's not doing the Luka.
I think he was injured.
Shit team,
he missed camp.
Shit team, yeah. Yeah, all that stuff. So I think Cade's the best player, but he's obviously not rookie of the year because of that. Evan Mobley, right? He's going to miss the last couple games here, but I would go Evan Mobley. Like, if the Cavs hadn't just gotten 50 freaking injuries in a row, to him included, and now Jared Allen, who knows when he's coming back, right? And a bunch of role players on that team, like that team would have been. Right now, they're 43 wins. Like, they should probably have been around 46, 47, 48.
They might have been 50, a top three. Right?
Yeah. So, like, I think for him as a big man center, that's probably the hardest. You know, we've seen Big Jim struggle in that role, right? Like, that's a really hard role to be in. I'd go with Mobley.
He's so polished. And by the way,
offensively, especially,
Scotty Barnes plays the same role. Scotty Barnes is huge, dude. I saw him at Summer League, and I'm like, this dude might be 6'10". Like, he's definitely taller than Kuminga, and he's kind of he's what people wish Ben Simmons was often, you know, like kind of like that. Like, he's a really good ball handler, really good defender. But yeah, I'd go with you, Evan Mobley. This is a special draft class because I'm going to ask you a question. Kuminga played 30 minutes a game, do you think he would break into the top three here for rookie of the year?
No, I think Kuminga would have been like that Jalen Green. Like, I think he would have been like, he would have had Jalen Green's rookie,
a little less
rookie
efficient
season.
Because yep. He would have been asked to do more. Yep. I agree with you. And I think all that tells me is this is a damn good draft. Yep. Because the year prior, Kuminga could make a case that he's like right behind Anthony Edwards in terms of, you know, just like athletic freak scorer off yep. the wing. Yep. And he, you know, in that draft, you'd be like, yeah, he's got to go top three. He's a future all-star if he continues developing correctly. And then in this draft, you know, you can love him as much as you want. And we do. And I think he's going to be amazing, but I can't in good faith say I would, you know, if he got 30 minutes a game, I think right. he'd be better than Scotty, Cade or Mobley at this point. Maybe Josh Giddey. Maybe.
But like the thing with him, it's like, you know, if he's playing on a team that's given, like, let's say he's on the Magic and Franz, let's say they didn't take Franz, right? Like, mm-hmm. end up taking Kuminga. Like, he'd be awful for the first few months, like Jalen Green was, just trying to figure out how to play in the NBA.
A lot of 6 for 18s.
Yeah. Then he'd figure it out.
A lot of tour dates.
Right. Looking like Steph during the slump. Then you figure it out, I think, like Jalen Green has, right? Or at least it looks like he's figured it out. So I think that's what Kuminga would have been. That first season, and then, you know, rookie year, you know.
And by the way, Jalen Green has been really good recently. And yeah, you're right. It's like
shocker. I'm kind of clicked.
I just feel like he's gonna be like a Zach LaVine. Like, he's better than LaVine was at his age, you know. Ooh. But you're just like, it's a good player. Anyway, you know, maybe they should have took Mobley, but still a damn good player. All I can say about the rookies is I feel like there's 8 guys I think will be all-stars in this class, and that's absurd.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Most improved. I feel like this one is the one that's going to get Warriors fans going. Current leader in the clubhouse is Ja. Garland is right there with him. DeJounte Murray, Miles Bridges, Desmond Bane, and Jordan Poole in that order. I always feel like this is the weirdest award because, like, what is the criteria here? You know, like, I know what the MVP is. I know what the defensive player of the year is, but, like, most improved based on, you know, like, is Jordan Poole taking the jump from where he was to where he is now more impressive than the jump Garland took? Like, they're two different things, you know?
There is no criteria, Sam. You just make it up. It's whatever you want it to be. I'm going with Darius Garland. I think Ja is the favorite, but I'm a Cavs fan ever since LeBron left. I go with Darius Garland because you watch that team and he averaged, like, there are games where he averages or where he has like 15 assists because the ball is in his hands all game long. And without him, that team, I mean, we're talking about that team going through injuries. The only guy that they haven't lost is Garland. And without him, they would be lotto team, right? Maybe 20 some wins. Like, he is the engine of that team on the ball, shooting everything. So I go with Darius Garland over your Jaws and DeJounte and those guys.
My hottest Darius Garland take is I would prefer him than Trae Young on my team. It's a Steph CP versus Harden Russ type of take, if that makes sense to you. To a guy who's about winning versus a guy who's about making sure he gets his numbers first.
No.
I went with Garland too, and I hate the fact that you picked him because I was open. To me, it's he went from being a good starter to being a legitimate all-star and the best player on a playoff team. I feel like that Ja was already an all-star. He took another step, but he was already an all-star to me, you know? And Desmond Bain, really good story. You know, DeJounte Murray also went from kind of being really interesting to being like a really good player this year. But I feel like Garland had the biggest tangible step.
Yeah. Even if like Jordan Poole, we talk about the Warrior side of this, he didn't play enough. I mean, he's been great the last month plus, right? But he wasn't, he was great to start the season, but he had lulls and then he just didn't play enough. Like, I think that's, I think enough to kind of push him out of the running, even in the top three for most improved.
I also think Jordan Poole may have had a better case for it last year, as funny as that sounds.
He was awful year one.
Because his first year was terrible. And by the end of year two, he was maybe the third most important player after Steph and Draymond. Like, he was very good for the Warriors in the home stretch last year. And to his credit, he built upon it. He's been and by the way, dude, he's gonna max contract the way he's playing.
Also is the third most important player on this team again.
He's that good. I have nothing negative to say about him. I just feel like the whole body of work, Garland's had to be the man all year. And Jordan, in some ways, it's kind of a criticism of Steve. Like, benching Jordan Poole for no apparent reason in the beginning part of the season has to be factored into this. It's not Jordan's fault, but it's like, you know, he was not closing a lot of games for whatever reason,
right,
in the beginning part.
Right. I'm with you. Now we're seeing it a little bit with some of the other two rookies, right, that the Warriors have with Kuminga and Moody, who are just hilariously out of the rotation. So we've seen it with Jordan Poole last season, where the same thing, right, where he was just out of the rotation, right? We see guys playing over him. But the crazy part is, after all of this, with three games left in the regular season, Jordan Poole is the 3A, 3B most important player on this team, along with Klay Thompson, right? So they need him. If they're going to win a championship, they can't just say, you said this from the beginning of the season, they can't just say, we're going to roll the core three out there, we'll win a title. They technically could. They could, but they're going to need Jordan Poole to give them that extra.
Just extra shot creation is really what it comes down to.
Swag.
I've watched Klay dribble. I prefer not to.
I don't think we're seeing him dribble anymore once Steph comes back. You know, you would think when Steph and...
Yeah, but like part of that's Poole. You got Steph, you got Poole, you got Draymond.
Yeah.
Klay should be just feasting off of the shots they create, not like trying to find his own shot off the bounce. I want to bring
contract, by the way, before we do that, max contract, you said. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I think someone's going to max him at this rate.
Wow.
Poole's last 17 games, he scored 20 in every one of them. 17 games, 26.4 points, 5.1 assists, 50% from the field, 45% from three. I mean, that's some Steph Curry flamethrower stuff going on right now. And honestly, if he had a chance to do it in a larger role for the entire season, I'd say he is the most improved player. He's not going to shoot 45% from three for a full season, because if he does,
then he is Steph Curry.
He might be better than Steph. You know, but the point stands. The difference between him and Garland for me is Garland has been doing this since the first game of the season, and for whatever reason, the Warriors have yo-yoed Poole, and now we're dealing with Poole looking amazing down the stretch.
And the other thing too is. Poole, even if he's going to become that player, he's always going to share ball handling responsibilities with Steph and even Draymond. Like, there is going to be no Jordan Poole come up, pick and roll, you know, kind of dissect the defense. Let me do what I want, average 8 assists a game. Like, that's never going to be Jordan Poole as long
not
as
when
he's
Steve's
the
coach.
Yeah, not when Steve's the coach. But also, I mean, that's just, it's Steph, right? Steph's on the team. Like, that's not how it's going to work with those guys. And especially with Draymond, right? Like, Draymond's always going to want to do his little traffic cop stuff, right? So, I just that's always kind of quote unquote hinder him a little bit, but I mean, it's always going to help that he's playing next to Steph and Draymond and Klay and those guys. So I just, yeah, I guess it's not going to happen next season, but the last 20 games, Jordan Poole, max contract. You heard it here first.
Another team will give him a max. And then they will have to match it. I don't know. We'll
Vivek is coming in hot.
Tyler Hero is probably going to get a max. Tyler Hero gets a max. Jordan Poole gets a max. Yeah. Everyone's getting maxes.
Yeah.
Except for our guy Looney. No one's maxing Looney.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins gets a max. Somebody threw out the comparison numbers for Jamal Murray and Jordan Poole when they were both at this age, 22. They look strikingly similar.
It's not a bad comp. Jamal having done it in the playoffs like makes me think of something, but it's not a bad comp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither of them are like pure point guards either, you know? Like they're best when playing with someone else who's creating too. So I like it. I like that comp.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. That's an incredible player.
Yeah. Okay. Defensive player of the year. This was Draymond's until he got hurt. Vegas has Marcus Smart as the leader in the clubhouse, followed by Bam, Mikal Bridges, Rudy, Giannis, Jaren Jackson.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I
feel bad for Draymond.
He wanted it. It would have helped in the contract negotiations, right, that he's going to do. I wanted to go Jaren Jackson. He leads the league in blocks and kind of turned around Memphis into a juggernaut, right? And he's kind of the ability for him to play small ball and also play next to Steven Adams, pretty cool. So I kind of wanted to pick Jaren, but he also like doesn't play enough, gets into a lot of foul trouble.
Yeah.
So like that's the only one. Bam's right up there for me. I kind of don't want to go. Sam, I just don't know. Thought about this. I just don't know. So I'm going to defer to you and listen to what you have to say and then pick one.
First off, I am automatically DQing Marcus Smart. I'm not giving defensive player of the year to a dude who injured Steph Curry on a reckless play. Not happening. Just not happening.
Great take.
Now, my actual defensive player is Mikal Bridges. And the reason I like him more than Marcus Smart on this one is I think he plays with worse defenders. And Phoenix is a top three defense. I think Chris Paul's been in and out of the lineup. Devin Booker's been in and out of the lineup. He's not a defensive player anyway. Ayton, you watch the Phoenix Suns. Ayton is definitely not an everyday energy type of guy. Some games he does, some games he doesn't. Jay Crowder's whatever. Cam Johnson, not a big defender. I think they ask Mikal Bridges to put out a lot of fires defensively, and he does it. He's probably the best wing defender in the league this year. Like health-wise, he's the best. Boston, Marcus Smart actually is excellent, but so is Jason Tatum. So is Jalen Brown.
Robert Williams.
So is Robert Williams. Obviously getting Derek White helps too, but you know, that just came. I don't think he has as much responsibility defensively. And you know, I would have given it to Draymond if he played 60 games, but he didn't. You know, Bam also has missed 25 plus games. I have to factor that in. Bam would have been, I might have given it to Bam for the same reason I give it to Draymond, but like at a certain point, you missed too much time for me.
Yep.
So that's my case. You know, I don't usually like to give it to a wing, but whatever.
Rudy Gobert is there. Your guy, friend of the show. I'm following you. I'll go Mikal. I didn't have a strong take on this one. I really wanted to go Triple J because that's my guy. But I'll go Mikal.
Do agree with you. Triple J plays like a depoy. Like he definitely does, but the combo of missed time and it's there. I would not be surprised if you want it in the next 2 to 3 years.
He might also be the key to them winning a championship.
Because
him outplaying Draymond at the five, at least defense, like he can change game small ball five, Jaren Jackson. Now he's going to foul out a lot. He's young. right. Like quote unquote, right? Because he's also not posting up, right? He shoots a lot of threes. Very weird shooting style, right?
I mean, he's kind of useful because like on offense, he can just space. And so that lets you play a Steven Adams if you want to go like big bully ball.
Yep.
Or you can put him at the five and be super fast and spaced out. And then Ja has an open lane, you know, like
beast.
And that's just
a good shooter. Side. Yeah. He's not like a 32%. And I think that's the comp.
He's technically 32% this year, but, he is a better shooter than that. I don't know why he's shooting so poorly.
Wow, I didn't know that. So I should know better, Sam. But I think that's the comp for Wiseman.
Previously 38%. So I just think a lot of people have
why he's shooting a lot more. That's probably why he's just shooting a lot more threes. he's the guy that I would say, not Ayton. Like the Warriors, they've brought up Ayton for big gym comps. And to me, it's always like, Ayton's just not as impactful as someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. could be. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. could be a pillar for a championship winning team. I don't see that for Ayton. And again, you know, we'll see.
Well, what if you get to one. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but it's right. Jaren, because Jaren has versatility to make your stars better. That's the thing. And he can legitimately switch 1 through 5. There's not a lot of bigs who can switch on to Steph, and he's on the short list of guys who can switch onto him and do as good a job as you can hope. So I'm with you. I think he's the underrated reason why they are so good without Ja, because they're still good defensively, and you know they get the job done that way. So
can he switch on to Steph and Poole at the same time though? In a second round series.
That's true. How many places at once can he be? We've seen peak Draymond be on 3 places at once.
We'll see.
We'll end it there. I appreciate all of you. We'll be back after the Lakers game, probably on Spotify Green Room.